Hi, everybody. This is Cassidy Teague, and we are here at the Pink Buckle Barrel Race at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma, with Barrel Horse World and Barrel Talk Radio. Today, our guest is Lisa Miladinovich, owns the phenomenal stallion Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, how are you doing today?
Good. So you sold a couple of horses last night at the sale. Everybody was saying how great it was. What did you think?
You know, it was very interesting. It was overwhelming. I think I was more nervous than anybody. Well, maybe my moon flashmare was a little bit more nervous than anything. No, overall, it was a good experience. I didn't bring him in until yesterday. So maybe I should have brought him in the day before, let him settle. But
yeah,
overall, it was good. Good experience. Yeah. I let my Trace Ace go.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take my moon flash home with me.
So. Yeah. Well, good. Oh. Well, just a shout out to the Pink Buckle. What a phenomenal set of horses. Record high for the average. Just says a lot of great things about the industry alive and well. And
absolutely,
things are going well for the barrel racers.
I was kind of sad to miss out on the sale because I was so involved with my own. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You were busy.
That's the only thing that I do miss. But.
Yes. So let's get right to it. Ain't Seen Nothing Yet is just, for lack of a better term, blown up in the last few years. Tell everyone your story and how you acquired him.
Well, I had been looking for a stallion prospect for about 7 or 8 years. I was breeding my mares to Frenchman's Guy, and I had a really nice Dasher Perks mare, and she kept throwing fillies for me. I had a stallion at the time. He was a foundation bred stud, and I had been showing horses and got into the barrel racing, and it kind of went that direction. I was like, you know, I really kind of like this barrel racing gig more than showing horses, and I was kind of getting burned out. Mm-hmm. So I started doing just, you know, research, bloodlines, what works, what didn't. And but I'm a huge confirmation person, like, mm-hmm. and I keep going back to that, and people want to know why, like, you know, why did it take you so long? Like, what, why, you know? Mm-hmm. So the ins and outs of that
was just the individual confirmation.
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, at the time, I had a really nice, like I said, foundation stud. Mm-hmm. I ended up trading him for my Dasher Perks daughter that mm-hmm. I was breeding the Frenchman's Guy. And the whole barrel racing industry was so different back then. And getting into it was a way different world than it is today,
sure.
as you know.
Yeah.
But Barrel Horse World, Barrel Horse News, you know, you're constantly flipping through, looking at things.
Oh, yeah.
And so I bred for several years. I got fillies, never got a stud colt. And so then I guess I was like, you know, I really would like stud colt to be a fraternity horse for myself when I graduated college. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't find anything.
Right.
But I found a lot. Let's back up there. I did find a lot. I went to a lot of auctions. I was looking constantly on Barrel Horse World, Barrel Horse News, mm-hmm. Any outlet I could.
To find your prospect.
To find, but I wanted straight legs. I wanted appeal. I wanted a good dam. I wanted confirmation more than anything. And I really wanted a strong pedigree on the bottom side. And I wanted color. And that wasn't...
You just had a few things on your
list. Yeah, it was proven to be very hard, actually. I found a lot of prospects that I did like, but
sure.
I was never 100% sold on them
right.
until I found
him. So you were patient.
Very. So, actually, he was on Barrel Horse World, and he was on there, and they pulled him off because they were like, oh, we can't sell him. Mm-hmm. And they had another stud at the time called Martha's Frenchman,
uh-huh.
and he was more established, and they were running him and doing stuff with him, and I think they kind of sat down and were like, you know, we only need one stud,
right?
And we've already proven him, so it makes more sense to keep him. We're going to sell the young colt.
So he was listed, and you saw him?
It was listed. He was 7 months old. The pictures weren't the greatest. They were real, like, wintery pictures. And just kind of.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, he's just
made
tell.
Right.
Like, his thirds are really good. I couldn't see legs. I couldn't see anything that I really wanted to see. So I had to call them and, you know, ask them for pictures and videos and this and that and the other. And mm-hmm. apparently they had a ton of emails on him. Because I saw him right after he hit Barrel Horse World. Honestly, mm-hmm. I was on there constantly, like an addict. And they were like, I was the first one that called.
About
everybody else was like, you know, texting or emailing or whatnot. I did send an email, but then I was like, they didn't answer me. Maybe they sold him.
Right.
And so I called them.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you're the first one to call us, so we'll get you the information first.
Oh, wow.
So they sent me the videos, the email or pictures, updated everything. And, you know, he was small and gangly and just kind of not real cute. I mean, he was, but I don't know. It was more so the structure. Like, whenever I was young, I was taught how to look at a horse and, you know, how they're going to mature and whatnot. So I was like, I think he's going to be something. And you loved his bottom side, like Streaking Six, Bugs Live in 75. I mean, Dash of Fame.
A lot of greats.
Really good mare. He was out of strong, big, beautiful mare.
Mm-hmm. So did you get to see his mother?
Yeah, I used to own her.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I eventually got to buy her years later.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah. So that was another story. Like, I tried for years and years and years, and they wouldn't sell her.
Yeah.
And I got her later on in life. And sadly, I lost her to a broken leg 2019. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, kind of bummer. So we don't have – I just have a Roll Shake and Filly out of her, and then ain't seen nothing yet.
So you buy me 7 months old. So you wait.
Yep. I ship him. He was in West Virginia.
Okay.
And clear across country, so I didn't go see him. I was just going off of photos and videos, which is not normal for me.
Cause you live in
Nebraska.
Nebraska, but I was in
Wyoming at the time.
Okay.
So I hired a hauler. They brought him out, and they brought him off the trailer, and he wasn't the nicest baby. He was very feral.
Yeah.
And my mom threw him in the round pen, and she called me while I was at work. She's just like, your little jerk is out in the round pen. And I was like, oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
stud colt.
I made a bad decision or something. But
yeah,
he was just so confident early on. You know, he walked up to me in the round pen the first time I, you know, met him, and he went to bite me. And I was like, oh. So we had a little discussion about that right away. But
yeah,
you just never know. I mean, I bought him the futurity.
Right. Like, so tell us about his, when he grows up, what happens?
So as a yearling, he got his leg underneath a corral panel that was cemented into the ground. We had a round pen made that was meant not to move. And mom and I found him one day, and he was just laying flat. We thought he was dead, honestly. Go out there, and his hawk is just massively huge. And he just picks his head up and then just lays it back down. So I thought he broke his leg, honestly. So he was little enough that mom and I drug him out from underneath there, and he just laid there. He wouldn't get up.
Oh,
so I
goodness.
Called the vet. Was like, I don't know if I'm gonna put him down or what's gonna have to happen here. And he comes out, and he finally gets up, and he's just not putting any weight on it. So I'm like, I think he probably fractured it or something really bad.
Right.
But after a while, I think he thrashed for so long, because you could tell that he was just tired.
Worn out.
Yeah. So the vet comes out, and he's like, no, he didn't break it. He says it's just a bad bruise. He's going to take a while to get over this. So honestly, we just carried on. The swelling went away. The next year rolled around. I was in Arizona for college, and I started training on him. And easiest horse I've ever trained.
Mm-hmm.
So easy, almost too easy. Took everything in stride, not afraid of anything. He's just so bold, like so
confident.
Different from what I'm just used to.
Because
I used to ride Morgans and Andalusians and
oh, really?
Arabian. So, yeah. So he was just almost too easy for me. And I was like, there's got to be something wrong with this horse. Like, so I was riding him in the wash through town, like places that you really wouldn't ride a two-year-old that was just really green, but nothing ever fazed him. And I trained him. I had him patterned on the barrels. We were tracking cattle on him. Team sorting a little bit because I like to kind of do everything with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was training on Arizona, he really stops hard. Like, he gets his butt in the ground and really
uses his stuff. Mm-hmm.
But he would start shifting off that right auk. And I'm like, It's like, well, maybe I need to get him looked at. So I hauled him over to Buckeye Equestrian Center and had Copper Springs. They had a booth over there. And they were like, yeah, he's got some, you know, arthritis. I think we need to inject him. And, you know, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, he's good.
Right.
So they injected him. Did great. Like, you would never know anything was wrong, right? He quit doing that. Well, he came back from breeding season, and I went to go saddle him up, and he grabbed the fender of my saddle and flung it like 8-10 foot, and just looked at me, and I was like, okay, like, that's not normal.
And he had never acted like
that? No, never. So I knew something was wrong.
Wow.
So, of course, I loaded him up again, took him up to Dr. Ted Vlahos up in Sheridan at the time, and does a lot of soundness stuff. Actually, he does prosthetics, too. He's super cool.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, well, he's like, you know, this horse did fracture his hawk. He said, but I think I can go in there and pin and screw what needs to be done, and I give you 80% chance that the horse is going to come back. He's like, so that's a pretty good chance. I was like, oh, that sounds great, you know. Well, he called me during surgery, and I thought, oh, no, did he die?
Right.
Or, like, something terrible happened. Like, my heart just dropped.
Yeah.
But he said when he went to go pin and screw what was left, it just turned into dust and disintegrated. So now he's an inch and a half shorter on the right side than he is the left side. And he had to do what he had to do to clean it out. So essentially, right? So, I mean, the rest was history. He's like, you can ride him. You're just going to have to drug him. He's not going to be a performance horse. You can't do that to him.
Yeah.
So took him home. We were working cattle on him, like out on the ranch, you know, just day work and stuff. And I'd bring him home and he'd just pack his leg like in the air.
Make him sore.
And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this to him. Mm-mm. I'm just not going to do it to him. And it was hard because he's always be at the first one at the gate. Like, hey, pick me. I want to go. Like, because he's just.
Wanted to be rode.
Yeah, all the time. Mm-hmm. And it killed me, but that was it. We just didn't put him through that anymore.
So you just started standing him.
Just started standing him. And we, for many, many years, I mean, the first several years, we were only breeding 2 to 5 mares because we were concentrating on getting him to futurity.
Sure.
And after that, it was like, what are we going to do now? Like, I got a young.
Your plans changed.
Unproven, hurt stud.
Yeah. Which, you know, he's by Frenchman's Guy, out of a daughter, a dash to fame. I don't know how many there are of those, but there's a lot. Okay, the number one, sure. Proven cross, both ways probably. But what do you think? What do you think makes him so much different or so much better, in my opinion?
As I told you, I actually owned his dam later on in life.
Smart and famous.
She was just a big, beautiful mare. Also strong built, made, correct. Nice.
And she's
legs.
Streaking six on the bottom.
Yeah, streaking six, Ladybug's Moon, you know.
All the greats.
All the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love streaking six horses. Always have.
You know, that's the foundation of Brittany's broodmare band.
And I always go back to, like, you know, look at Adie Stinson. Mm-hmm. And look at Streaking to Fame. They're all bred the same way.
Yeah.
Like, similar, that, you know, Dash to Fame, Streaking Six.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of success in that line for some reason. And.
Oh, go ahead.
So, I mean, that was very enticing to me, but I will go back to conformation and color and just pedigree. I mean, it all had to be there for me. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm going to invest in a stud prospect and stand one, they're going to be, there.
And in a world that we're in where it seems like it's so competitive and everybody wants a stud.
Yes.
So I would maybe repeat what you said. We need to be extra picky about all the things that we're wanting in a stud.
Well, and I know everybody's likes and wants are totally
different,
which is great, but I am very critical of a stallion, like, to a fault.
But I would say that's a great thing, because look at all the people or all the horses that have been crossed the way your horse is. He's different. He stands out by far and away.
Right.
There's no comparison for that cross.
Sure.
There's not. I mean, honestly. So, I mean, congratulations, and just what an outstanding producer he is. And I bet it just makes you so proud that he never even got to run. But look what he's done when you thought there was no hope.
Yeah, I definitely. But you got to go back to when you have a young, unproven stud that's hurt, you're not going to get the best mares either.
No.
So.
And look what he overcame, because he probably started out with not so many great mares.
Okay, so I remember this. I'm looking back in time to online discussions that we had on Barrel Horse Forward List. I remember when your horse got hurt, and I remember you having to defend your stud and defend your decision to own a stud. Mm. You always believed in him.
I did.
And people were cruel. People are still cruel.
Yeah.
Like, well, who do you think you are that you can, you know, go against this person and that person, be raise up in this business? But you knew what you were doing. And you did. She took an enormous amount. Do you remember that?
Oh, I still do.
Enormous amount of criticism. Mm-hmm.
I still do.
Hats off to you for believing in yourself, for knowing, trusting what you knew about confirmation and pedigree. Yeah. And you held the course.
Oh, I did.
Kudos.
And I still do. I appreciate that. It hasn't been easy. I can tell you that much. And honestly, if you're not a mentally tough person, like, I can see people just exiting stage left because they're like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Go through this.
But the things that were said about him is really sad. Mm-hmm. Like, he has chips. He's, you know, they're not running him because of this, that, and the other. And it's like, there's so much non-truth. Like, where does that get people in this industry? Like, tearing other people down? Like, where does that get you in this industry?
I think people would be so much better off. I mean, I know social media has its perks, and we've talked about this with other people on podcasts, but I really think that people don't realize how bad it makes them look when you're always that person attacking someone else. You can say nothing. You can choose to keep scrolling if you don't like it or you don't agree. But what good comes from it? It just makes that person
and
look bad.
And I think, to be fair, we've all said and done things that we've regretted later on in life. And I think as we get older, we're like, you know, that was wrong. That was not right. Which there's a lot of people that have come back around and apologized to me that have said the meanest things that actually bought greetings to Ain't Seen Nothing yet. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't let them forget.
But like, it's not like probably a lot of the stuff that was being said. Where did they get that from is my thing.
Well, actually, one of them, when she's lucky, I don't throw her under the bus right now. But honestly, she said, you know, some of the nastiest stuff and spread it to a lot of people out on the West Coast. And I confronted her. And I said,
good for you.
She said, well, I got it from a reputable source. And I said, well, your reputable source is wrong. And here's my vet's number. I would like for you to call him and verify what you're trying to destroy.
Yeah.
And you're lucky that I don't.
Well, and just what you told us about his history, the whole time you wrote him, he did that as a yearling. He hurt himself as a yearling. He tried the whole time.
He tried. And he never bucked. And every vet was like, I'm surprised this horse is not trying to throw
So he has so much heart. I wrote a couple. And, yeah, it's just, I mean.
Well, yes, Cassidy, you had that really nice gelding listed.
Yes.
And he was on Barrel Horse World for 5 minutes, and you had 10 offers.
Yeah, I had a lady buy him sight unseen. I mean, just a nice colt. I forget what kind of mare I was sitting here trying to think he was out of, but they just have a lot of, like you said, they want to use his hind end. When you said that earlier,
yeah,
no cheat, but wanted to use itself.
No,
really
a
good feel.
They can turn inside out. Like they're so athletic.
Yeah, and still bendy, but not too bendy. Just a really cool feel. Yeah.
I was working cattle down in Arizona, and there was a cutting trainer down there where I was staying, and he's like, boy, you need to cut on that horse. And I was like, I think he could do it, but with his history of that hawk, you know, of course you'd never want to put one through that kind of stuff.
But yeah,
thank goodness I didn't even try, because I already did enough damage as it was
riding
him.
So how old is he now?
He's 15 this year.
Okay, so you go to breeding him after he's too injured to ride.
Sure.
How long did you breed just a handful or 10 or under mares until you really had, like, what would you say his breakthrough year was?
Well, we got kind of lucky, you know, the very first full crop that he had, you know, one was with Carrie Dawn Johnson, Ain't I Perfect. She went on and made a 1D barrel horse right away. The other one went to Montana and was rope horse. And I wish I would have kept better track of both of those, because Carrie Dawn wasn't on social media very much. But then you got the next crop that came on, and there was only two again. And that was Ain't Seen Me Yet, the Maggie run.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got Seen It in the Stars that Kelsey Luchin had, Treharn has now. And he was 1D barrel horse consistently. She set arena record on him down in Texas. Like, how does that happen? Like, out of the first, you know,
it's unheard
babies
of.
That are, you know, on the ground.
And were any of those mares just off the charts?
No.
Important?
No.
Yeah, that's amazing.
No.
And we all know what mare power is and how valuable it is, but he overcame a lot to make those kind of winners that early on.
Right. My Dasher Perks never had a career, just plain and simple, because I was in college. And I just, my mom was like, please go to college, get your education. You can do this barrel racing
priorities
thing.
Yeah.
After you're out of college,
yeah,
you know, please just make this a priority. So I did.
Yeah.
And then my Easy Jet mare, she just never had the chance. She was a big, beautiful mare. Double-bred Easy Jet, had the nicest babies, but she never had a career. I think Shannon Wade told me, Ain't Seen Me Yet's mama was a racetrack flunk out.
And yeah, just a, yeah.
They didn't do much. I don't know if they did much
after
with her that.
After riding, I have another Ain't Seen Nothing Yet in my barn that I ride. Actually, the girl that helps me owns him, and I think he's out of a cowbred mare, but I can see after riding those, just the two I've ridden, he crosses on a lot of different kinds of mares, I think, really well.
He does. And I think going back to, like, Jessica Anderson that's running just a DTF Frenchman, he's clearly a cowbred mare. The mare didn't do anything. She wasn't spectacular. And that's her own words. That's not mine.
Sure.
And I think he has 4 arena records down in Texas. Mm-hmm. And he's little. He's not a big horse.
So much.
Constantly winning in the 1D. Yeah. So I agree with you, and I get so upset when people are like, oh, they're only great because of their mama. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, we had this conversation the other day when I talked to you about setting this up.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. I saw something on Facebook the other day, too, about how, I don't remember who posted it, but they took the greatest sires or the greatest dams and then the worst dams or the good sires. Anyways, at the end of it, they're saying the mare has like 60 to 80% of the impact on the babies.
Yeah.
So, like we were speaking of before, some of these blue hen mares, yes, you can cross them on anything, and they're going to make winners. But your stud had to do it
the hard way.
The hard way.
Yeah, he did. And I defend that by saying, like, my vet came at me and was like, can we breed this pony mare that's, like, this big? And I'm like, why? Why would we do that? Yeah. And he's like, no, the family's a really good family. They're going to do something. They really want a rodeo horse. And I'm thinking, is this real life? But, you know, my vet has never stared me in the wrong direction. So I was like, okay, mm-hmm. as long as you say that they're going to do this mm-hmm. and they're going to actually do something with mm-hmm. it, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
So they bred it, and that mare, it's a little pony, painted pony mare. Her name is Ain't I a Punk. And she has been running 17 twos on standard patterns. So you're going to tell me that pony mare contributed 75% to that success?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't buy that.
No.
But, I mean.
That's amazing.
So I have a question for both of you. You're in a business, and Cassidy, Fiesta's got a gun. Mm-hmm. Lisa, ain't seen nothing yet. You are in this industry that's just now besieged with money.
Yes.
Big money. How hard was it for you two, both of you, Lisa and both Cassidy, you come from a working background, and both of you make it with the shirts on your back and probably sometimes $2 in your pocket, literally. So how does it feel to be way up here when you know you started down about, you know, base level?
You could go first. I don't know how I'm going to respond to this.
I was thinking you could go first. You know, thinking about the sale yesterday as I was watching it, and I saw a post that Lee Hansen made this morning, it really kind of stuck with me. I was thinking the same thing last night. Man, I wish I had a horse in that sale. And it's a great thing for our industry on one hand. It's booming. It's incredible. It's not job security, but it's a very secure future, I feel like. The barrel horse industry is alive and well, obviously. The other aspect of it is, you think about how do you compete sometimes when you don't have unlimited funds for, I can't go buy a pink buckle spot. You know, I didn't own my stud when the pink buckle came out. Thank God I got in the ruby buckle. I had him, you know, when that came out, and I jumped in with both feet. You know, the incentives have changed the game so much and in a great way, but it is a little intimidating to know that, you know, there's not a plan B a lot of times. You know, I mean, I love my stud. He was injured early on, so he's 18 this year. So we're kind of in a similar, you know, they have a lot of similar stories. And, you know, it takes a long time, especially when they don't run, for them to be known. So, yeah, it's very intimidating, but I also think that I rode his babies, so I was a believer, and you rode your stud, so you were a believer. So there was no backup or quit on my end for him, because I knew what that horse, what those babies felt like. So I was a believer. I was in. Sure. I was all in. So I was bound and determined when I bought him to let people know what I already knew.
Right.
And so I just made it. You have to make it work sometimes. You got to do what you got to do. You have to rearrange stuff. You have to work extra long hours. You have to, you know, sacrifice. You have to sell stuff you don't want to sell. You have to do things to make it work. So, you know, and a lot of people, it's not their fault that have endless resources, but it's harder for those people that don't to compete.
Yeah. Lisa, how about you? Like, did you ever have times you just like, I give up. I can't do this anymore. I can't take the criticism. It's too much money.
Yeah.
The criticism, I won't lie to you. It's very hard to not let that get in your head. And I do think I'm a mentally strong person most days.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't, that doesn't mean that it doesn't bother me and it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Are there people now that walk up to you and say, oh, congratulations, I'm so, you know, thrilled with what's going on with your stud, and you're looking at them going, well, wait a minute, you said way back I shouldn't be doing this. Do you ever find that you have to forgive people for previous?
I do, and I say most of the time people have already apologized and mm-hmm. said, I'm sorry I said this about your stud and you, and,
yeah.
you know, You know,
can you imagine, though, as a stud owner like me and you, can you imagine knowing what it takes to withstand this? Can you imagine saying something that might not be true negatively? But I just can't imagine doing that. If
I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum. I get myself in trouble maybe being too honest sometimes, mm-hmm. you know. But I think there's a way to do it now and do it tactfully versus just, you know, trying to destroy somebody. Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that was said about Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, I mean, could
and here's
end
the
a
other
stud
thing.
Career, you know?
Here's the other thing. There's room for everyone.
There
we
is.
We don't have to be ugly to someone else to make yourself do better.
No. So everybody, I think being on the ground floor, I bought Ain't Seen Nothing Yet myself. I mean, I know
and
a
tell
lot
us,
of people say that, like, your parents. No, my parents did not buy in for me.
Well, I was going to say, you've mentioned your mom a couple times when I spoke with you the other day, the first time we got to visit. She helps you a lot. Tell us how your day-to-day breeding season, tell us how that works at your house, because I want to know.
So I was working full-time still. So
doing
a physical therapist assistant.
Kay.
And I was also a program manager.
Okay.
So I managed the whole therapy department,
okay.
scheduling the whole nine.
So you had a good job.
Yes.
That you walked away from
yes.
to do this full time.
Yes. August 1st.
Okay.
So I've been full time since I was 15 years old. You
wow.
know, in a job.
Good for you.
So my mom, she does all my books. She does all my phone calls. She handles all my QuickBooks. She does all of that stuff. And I can do it, but my mom does it for me.
Yeah.
So then I would go home and collect Ain't Seen Nothing Yet on my lunch break. We would ship out semen and I'd go back to work in about an hour, hour and a half.
That is awesome.
So FedEx is an hour away from us, so I would have to schedule a pickup to come to my house to pick the semen up and then send it out. And mind you, we can't fly semen because we're out in the middle of nowhere. Literally, people don't understand. Like, when I tell you I'm in the middle of nowhere, that's where I am.
Yeah.
And so we can't fly semen, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But his semen is so good that I'm like, if you have any questions, just order it early and you'll be fine. Like, I breed my mares with 5-day-old semen all the time. So it's not a huge deal, and I'm very thankful for that
sure.
I have that opportunity
that's a
to
blessing.
Be able to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of how it goes.
Okay.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if I have extra semen, I freeze it every time. Because Marvin's been on my butt about you need a bank of frozen semen
you
with
do.
How much you have this horse insured for. So I've taken that to the bank, and everything I have, I freeze it. So
good.
I learned how to do all that stuff. So
when did you quit your job?
August 1st.
Okay. Oh, you said that. Yeah.
Yep.
So now you're just full time at home.
Yes, but they're calling me in like 3 times a week still. So
to
I'm
work.
Still doing PR.
And you have
work.
A little girl.
Two.
Two little girls.
Yeah,
okay.
I have an 8-year-old and 2-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aww.
So, and then Michael, my other half, he ranches and is a diesel mechanic. So we have.
So you guys got a lot going on.
There's a lot on our plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've never stood him anywhere?
No.
What's
his
bar name?
Take that back. So Vista Equine, Colorado, taught him how to collect.
Okay.
And they froze semen on him. And then I stood him in Arizona at Durango Equine whenever I was going to college down there.
When he was young.
Yeah. And then I would go and get him and ride and then bring him back. And like, because I was bored, you know, I wanted to have my horse. He was the only one I had down there. And then Dr. Ted Vallejo stood him in Sheridan, Wyoming for a while. And then I went to equine reproduction school myself and learned how to do all that stuff. And ever since 2016, I've stood him myself.
Wow.
So, yes, I do. He's here. He's at my house. He's literally right out my back window. Like, I know what he's doing all the time. I have a camera on him.
Like, of course you do.
I can watch everything he does.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could blame you for that.
No.
Listening to your story, I keep wondering when you're going to get a phone call from Netflix and say, hey, we want to do a story about real women with real careers, real cowgirls. Real ranchers, real women who've made successes of themselves. Because
sure.
that's interesting. Your story is fascinating.
Yes, it really is. And when you said you were bored, like, don't you look at your life now? Because I juggle a lot of the same things that you're talking about and just look back and think, I actually had free time. Now you just literally try to get through your day.
It's wild.
It's wild.
That's all I got to say.
Oh, man. Well, thanks so much, Lisa, for sharing your story. Do we need a break?
We're going to take a break here.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave. Play it. He's been wanting to play this. Go ahead, play it. That's awesome.
Hey, this is Cassidy. We're back with Barrel Horse World and Barrel Talk Radio with Lisa and Ain't Seen Nothing Yet in Her Story. We're going to finish up here. Let's talk about, Lisa, the future of, he's 15, so what do you, tell us what you see in the next 5 years.
Oh, goodness. I have a stud colt that's 2, but he's an Appaloosa.
Yes.
I wanted something a little different. I'm always kind of looking for something different. And he's in training right now. He's doing good. So I'm excited for him. Quarter horse wise, I did have one called I'm Going for Broke. I sold him. He's in a great home right now. I did retain some breedings off of him. He's out of my good Dash for Perks mare.
So the Appaloosa, you're talking about the one that went through the Heritage Place?
No. This is one I raised out of a Making Moves mare.
Oh, okay.
So he's a Palomino colored Appaloosa.
Oh.
So I have him. Well, he's in South Dakota right now getting broke. But
yeah.
He's the one I kept back. I haven't kept anything other than that, just purely because I haven't felt like any of them have really been stud quality.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have NFR girls and girls that have won hundreds of thousands of dollars breeding to him that I'm like, it's kind of hard for me to want to keep one a stud at this point, just because, I mean, how do you compete with that?
Yeah.
But I'm also super picky.
Yeah.
Like, so they get voted off the island pretty quick.
Right.
Like,
which
so.
Is good. So when you say super picky, give me a confirmation characteristic that you'll go, nope, not you.
Well, anything that, you know, and he's got really nice legs. So I usually don't ever worry about that. But, I mean, if they're not like a third, like perfect for me.
Balance.
Like, I love a clean throat latch. A pretty head is, that's, it's got to be there for me. I don't like big ears. I don't like small eyes. Mouth, no. You know.
Yeah.
Just so I can pick a horse apart.
So how do you, so I know you have a waiting list and the all the mares. How do you handle all that? Is it first come, first serve? Do you do approved mares? Do you make exceptions?
Well, ever since I started standing this horse, I always ask for pictures and pedigree and what the horse has done. And that's really been great.
On every single mare?
Every single mare. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
And, there's been a lot of them I've turned away just simply because of the pictures they sent me. If you can't take care of your horse, if you can't
absolutely.
Care for them, if I don't feel like they're confirmationally going to compliment.
Well, if they can't take care of their mare, why would they take care of the baby?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I've upset a lot of people in that sense, but he's my horse and I can do what I want with him.
Like, you know, let's talk about that for a minute. Pictures. Now with back to the social media and Barrel Horse World, Premier Horse, all the things. Sometimes you see pictures of horses posted by your stud, and it just makes you sick. Mm-hmm. And you can't do anything about it. And people are commenting on there, and then the owner gets mad. But you're thinking, why would you put something like that out there?
I absolutely agree with you. I'm
and I never know what to say. I usually don't say anything because it's a no-win for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to offend the seller.
Right.
The buyers just want you to comment.
I do have from time to time people contact me and be like, hey, like, how do you get your horses looking so good? Or what is the main thing when you're taking pictures? Like,
well, and I think a lot of people now, especially with all the sales and all the things, if you want a substantial amount for your babies, you need to hire a photographer. And I know people think that's crazy.
Yeah.
It makes or breaks it.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a sense, I can go back to, you know, not being able to afford one whenever I was younger.
Well, I understand that. But we weren't asking $30,000 for weanlings.
True. That's true.
Or two-year-olds. If you're going to ask over $7,500 for a horse, you need to have a good picture. I'm sorry.
Or do their teeth.
Yeah.
We could go on for days.
Yeah.
But honestly, yeah, I get actually questions all the time, like, why isn't my horse selling? Why am I not getting the interest? I'm like, do you want me to tell you the honest truth, or do you want, you know, because I'm going to be brutally honest with you. Like, if they don't look good, they don't present well, you don't have good pictures, it's going to be hard for you.
Perception is everything.
That's right.
Yeah. Because no one's going to get in the pickup and go look at one without a picture and a video now.
No. But you have videos, you have good videos, you have good promotion. It's like they're sold in no time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's crazy. So do you keep a running waiting list for your mares?
The last 3 years have been crazy. We had a waiting list. I did the first year. I went in order line, you know, like waiting list. But now it's getting to the point where.
So once you approve the mare, it goes on your list.
Yeah.
And then you just go down first come,
First come, first serve. Yeah. When they, you know.
After they're approved. It doesn't matter if they're, if you approve them, it doesn't matter if they're above this one, approved one or that one. It's just on the list.
No, that was the first year.
Okay.
Second year, we had to do a little different. Last year, we had 526 mares on the list whenever I cut it off. I said, I'm not taking any more. We're never going to be able to breed this many. So we need to deal with what we have. So honestly, a lot of those were here, which was great. But they're like, well, so-and-so is running a special. And I'm like, you know what? By all means. I said, I'm not trying to be rude. No. Go book your mares. Don't wait on me. Because mom and I really have to go through our books and be like, okay, who has rebreeds? Whose mares are open? Like, lost embryos. Like, we have to
take care of those people
first. Mm-hmm. We have to.
And do you do a normal, like I know on our contracts, you get a rebreed 1 year.
Right.
Is that how you do it?
That's how I do it. But we're kind of pushovers.
Yeah.
So, like, if they were trying or they just had bad luck,
yeah,
we try to extend that out till they get a baby. Because you not getting a baby on the ground does us no good as a stallion owner either.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of mare owners understand that. Like, I mean, you try to sympathize with them. Like, I mean, we want you to get a baby as bad as you want the baby.
Right.
You know, we don't want you to lose money trying to get a baby on the ground. So. And sad things happen all the time. It's just part of it, especially breeding that many mares.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I think is upsetting is you send in these contracts out and then they send it back. And then there's a whole bunch of people that just don't end up breeding.
Yeah.
They
for
sit
whatever
on that
reason.
Contract, and I had hundreds of people that would have, you know, want to be on that contract. And now we have to carry that contract over for the second year. And then once that second year's up, you know, your contract is over unless something, you know, happens or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's been hard. And this year, I will tell you, everybody keeps asking me how it's going to go. We already have over 500 mares again.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Jot form and a Google form, which was phenomenal because I was able to ask the questions I wanted to. They uploaded pictures, pedigrees, you know, told me if they bred it, ain't seen nothing yet before, why they hadn't, all the, you know, all the stuff.
So we're coming into fall. Everybody's looking at early booking specials. You know, it seems like breeding season is already here.
I
shudder at the thought.
No, I'm like, it never ends anymore.
It really never ends. So everybody's, you know, starting to ask for contracts and things like that. For anybody wanting to breed, not just about your horse, but what advice do you have for breeders that are looking for the best fit for their mare?
I think confirmation and trying to find a compliment to your mare versus
now, hang on.
What's hot.
I'm going to stop you. Confirmation. So I think people should understand that just because there's a good picture of a stud, you need to go look at the
stud. Absolutely. And I know it's hard in Nebraska, but come see.
Well, not your horse in particular. I think we know he's proven, but I'm saying in general, people breed to horses because, not anything against it, because they're in the pink buckle or the ruby buckle. You never laid eyes on the horse. You might want to go look.
Absolutely.
Maybe your horse needs bone. Maybe your horse needs, I don't know.
Foot.
Something.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. When I lived in Texas, I went and looked at some studs that I was like so excited to go see, and then I got there and I was like very disappointed.
It will completely change, I bet, what people think if they would go look, you know. Yeah. So sorry I interrupted you. You would say confirmation and then what else?
Temperament.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to compliment? What
right.
are you trying to improve? What do you know about the stud? What do you know, like what characteristics do you know that stud throws? Like, is he a dominant sire or is it not a dominant sire? Is it the baby more going to be like him or like the mama?
So talking about dominant sires, we were talking about this earlier on the break. So the colt, both of the horses that I've had by your stud have really strong personalities.
Yep.
And Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, I assume, is the contributor to that. I mean, unties everything, chew on everything, destroy fly sheets.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all those things.
He got untied. One of them, my girls would tie him up, and I would say, you guys aren't paying attention. They're like, no, we've tied him three different ways, and he can untie all the knots.
Yes. So,
just the funnest personalities.
He's, you know, I tie him with a cable now.
Do you? So he's an untier.
He destroys the nicest lead ropes and unties himself.
Just chews on them.
Yeah. And he's double locked in all of his pens because he can open latches.
Oh yeah.
And
isn't that funny how that carries over?
Oh. Like strong. Too.
And so if that happens with horses, you know the other personality traits.
Oh, yeah. He hates dogs.
Runs them out of the pen.
He rips the water spout off my barn and runs around with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's endless.
So you can't turn the water on and walk off.
With a lot of personality, you're not going to get along with
them. They are both like that. Yeah.
I, and you know what? I have polar opposite mares, too. Mm. Like, I've got some that ride the crazy train, but I love them. And then I've got some that are just real cool, and I've just raised enough out of all of these mares to know. And time again, they're more like him. And I pray, and I thank God every year that they're more like him, because the ones that are more fractious, like, they're running here and running at big barrel races, and they're just cool.
Handling it.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like his horses really, they're not deadheads, but they take the pressure.
Yes.
They take the heat with all different kinds of riders. I think there's so much to be said for that, because a lot of horses are athletic in our industry, but they cannot take it.
Sure.
All the speed and all the athleticism is in there, but when push comes to shove, or they get one good run out of them out of 10.
Sure. Well, I think it says a lot when there's a lot of youth riders, amateur riders.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Pro, you know, there's pros running them. You know, we got two going to the NFR with Summer and Lisa now this year.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, you always dream. I mean, as a stallion owner, that is like the ultimate dream. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of those ladies. I mean, and it just, I mean, as a stallion owner, you know how hard it is.
Yeah. Now, what kind of mares are they out of?
Tenley's is her high school rodeo mare, college rodeo mare. She's like a D-flip mare. She's not bred anything. That most people would know, which is so cool. I love that.
I do, like, too.
But she was a great mare. And then the other one's a Firefoot Waterflit daughter.
Okay.
And she was also a very nice mare.
Lisa's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, like I said, you know, his number one is Ain't Seen Famous Yet, which Dusky Lynn's going to be running here.
The
Pink Buckle. He's never been here before.
Really?
So
she did real well at the Breeders' Challenge.
Super excited to see him. Yeah, he ran the fastest time of the whole event down there. So.
Now, what about the rope side? Are there some rope horses out there, too?
Yeah.
And he's in Riata.
Yes. Riata and the Roping Fraternities of America. I also put him in the Gold Buckle Fraternities because there are so many people roping on him right now.
I feel like that's such a great asset to our studs, the Riata Buckle. I mean, it came out, and I think a lot of people were kind of reserved. Mm-hmm. But it's really, from what I hear, because my horse is by Playgun, so I talk to a lot of the ropers and that side. I feel like your horse is going to sire a lot of good rope horses too. The way they use themselves and they handle pressure, and they have natural rate and cow to them.
Yeah, they don't get stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that goes a long way.
No, they back off.
I do know it's kind of fun. Summer Coastals that she's running.
Yep.
The people that bought him. Out of Anderson's, out of Nebraska. Actually, we're training him as a calf roping horse. He is a phenomenal. That horse can bury his butt and slide for...
Wow.
Yeah. So I
that's
have a video
so cool.
of that horse whenever they were training on him, and that's what they were going to do,
that
was
is
calf
so
rope
cool.
on him. I mean, and he was phenomenal. But then they saw, I think, all the money in the barrel horse industry.
So they just switched gears?
Yeah. And then sent him off to Emily Pauly to train on the barrels.
But how much do you think that probably helped him be an outstanding barrel horse?
Oh, they did a phenomenal job training him. He had such a handle on him. I think he just kind of took, you know.
I bet that was the easiest horse ever to put on barrels.
I don't know, but it seemed like he took it pretty quick. Because he hasn't been running barrels, but I think 2 or 3
well,
years.
Well, he had another job.
Yeah.
I mean, that always benefits.
Yeah, so he never fraternized. He never did derby, nothing.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you the best of luck
at
the finals with your babies. And it's been so great talking to you. I'm such a fan. And just congratulations on all his success.
I want to interrupt for just a minute. And Lisa, in your own words, tell me how you feel about your horse as, not just a horse, but sum up how he's changed your life. And the emotional, the love you have for him.
You know, I didn't know the magnitude of what he is now until I've been offered blank check offers left and right, which is so flattering to me, honestly, because I come from nothing.
Sure.
And I've built everything with this horse.
Sure.
But I've had him since he was 8 months old, and he's going to die with me. So if anybody's – I know everybody asks me all the time, he's not going anywhere. He's going to die with me. There's no amount of money that could buy that horse from me.
He owes you nothing.
He owes me nothing. And he loves being a horse. And he's out in the pasture where I live.
And how much joy does it bring you to just walk out there and see him?
Yeah. And he whinnies at me like, lady, you're not feeding me. Like, you know, even though he has a bale in front of him 24/7. But, no, my kids are starting to ride too. And I don't think, like, people are like, do they know he's famous? And I'm like, you guys, I don't even treat him like he's famous.
No.
Like, he's a horse. He's part of my family. He would come in my house if I opened the door. Like, he is the biggest goofball, and he's mine.
Yeah.
And that's all I got to say. You're going to make me cry.
Because I have tears. I'm hearing this, and I remember the amount of grief you took on Barrel Horse World. We're talking about apologies. And I remember that it was that was the day when I actually hated my job because people would fight on there. I'm like, now what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But you did. You took an enormous amount of grief, and you fought. And you loved him so much like a kid. That's why I have tears in my face because I know how much you love that horse. So,
and
okay, I'm going to get off here because I'm going to cry.
Yeah, he does. He does. And you know what? He honestly would do anything for me and everybody else. He doesn't like men very much because he got thumped on by a farrier when he was really young. So he tries to buffalo men left and right. And but honestly, it's a dream come true. And I wish every single person in this industry this because it's life changing, you know. So. Thank you.